Let's go to the book of James, please. James 1, and just a couple of verses from the book of James. As they say, the afternoon meeting, you're on a hiding to nothing when you're preaching, because after the nice meal, warm afternoon, Sunday afternoon, it's time for a nap. So that's fine. I don't mind if you take a nap, but please do not snore. Please. And do not do what my father-in-law used to do. He doesn't go to church now. He's in the aged care and he doesn't sort of remember much about church. But he not only, if I went over about 25 minutes at Coffs Harbour, he would go like this with his watch, you know. So, So I will endeavour to be very, very brief. Just give you a little outline this afternoon, something to be a blessing to you. And then, I don't know, whether it's this afternoon tea or whatever, or everyone goes home. And anyway, James chapter 1 and just verses 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So I just want to ask the question this afternoon, what is pure religion? What is pure religion? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great time of fellowship today. And dear Lord, I do pray and ask that you meet with us now for these few minutes together. I pray that we will do our very best to concentrate, and I pray that you'll speak to someone's heart as we always pray this. We pray for the filling of the Spirit of God upon this short time together, and in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. What is pure religion? The word religion has several connotations, many connotations over the years. In Acts 26, the Apostle Paul said this, after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And in Galatians 1:13, again, the apostle mentions the Jews' religion. So religion is a very generic sort of term. In past eras, in past days, when someone was born again, was converted to Jesus Christ, they were said to have got religion. And it actually meant something in those days. Today, religion can mean anything. Even atheists have their own religion. It's funny that atheists spend a lot of their time arguing and fighting against a God they don't believe exists. I've never sort of understood that. But it's definitely a religion. You can have people worship the climate. They do. It's a religion today. Worshipping as the Bible says, the creature rather than the creator. We're thankful for the creation, but we don't worship it. But religion, a very wide-ranging term. Well, in the book of James here, we find out what pure religion, and it's contrasted in verse 26 with vain religion. There is a religion that's vain, but there is a religion that is pure. Now, obviously, the first thing that makes up this thing called pure religion, obviously, is salvation. Salvation. You have to be a Christian, you have to be a child of God to have this thing called pure religion. Now, the book of James was, and is today, even for some today, a bit controversial. Some would teach, I'm pretty sure it was Luther. Martin Luther said that he didn't believe James should be in the Bible, but he was wrong because it is in the Bible. But some would even teach today that James, the book of James, teaches that salvation is by works and by faith. But of course, that doesn't make any sense because you can't have both. Romans 11 verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. So you can't have both. You can't have faith and works. They're mutually exclusive there. Because it's very clear in James 2:18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. It's clear there. We show others our faith by our works. We are not saved by works. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How much clearer do you get than that? It's not of works. Because if it was of works, how many works do you need? How much works do you need? I had this discussion with a fella at Condell Park a few years ago. One of the neighbours there came to hear me preach on several occasions, and he sat down with me in the vestry there after one meeting. He was rather upset, and he said, "No," he said, "you were poking fun at the Catholic Church," and I forget what I said. I most probably was, but I said, "Well, listen, you believe you have to have faith and works?" He said, "Definitely." And I said, "Well, how many works do you need? How much works have you got to add on top of your faith? I mean, what's the amount?" "Oh, I don't know." I said, "If you get and stand before God, and what if the works that you've added to your so-called faith are not enough?" He said, "Oh, well, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it." I said, "It's too late then. It's too late. It's one or the other. We are saved by grace through faith, or it's works." And of course, the Bible says that we cannot be saved by works. We must be very careful that we don't complicate salvation and make salvation something that it is not. We can go to extremes, but no, salvation is by grace through faith. Well, that's an understood thing. To have pure religion, we have to have salvation. But then secondly, we have to have service. Look at here, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. This is service. Now, particularly in Bible times, if you were fatherless or if you were a widow, things were pretty desperate for you. I mean, we live in our country is so easy to live in. We have pensions and we have this, we have that. I know when my father died when I was 3 and my brother Lyndon was only 1, my mum was on the pension, the widow's pension, but it wasn't a lot of money. She had to go basically straight back to work, and Lyndon and I lived with our grandparents in Epping for a number of years, and Mum had to work. But and I don't know what the widow's pension is today, I'm not sure, but it's something. But back in Bible times, if you lost the breadwinner, you were in big trouble. Whether you were the widow or whether you were the child without a father, you were in big trouble. And so James here says, listen, if you are saved by grace, through faith, you need to show others your salvation by your works. And he says you need to basically look after the fatherless and the widows. What was he saying? Those that are in most need, you need to look after them. You need to visit them. You need to look after them. You know, the Christian, the born-again Christian will want to serve God. There is a change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you are a born-again Christian, you will want to serve God. Now, we don't always serve God as well as we should, but we should want to serve God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should all want to serve God. Now, whether that is vacuuming the floor, whether it's being the pastor, whether it's cooking the meals, whether it's helping out at One Way or youth group or a dozen other ministries in the church here, or whether it's letterboxing or passing out gospel tracts, whether it's being a help to those that are in need in the fellowship here, whatever it is, we need to serve God. We need to serve him, and that comes from our heart. John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. You know, there comes a time the pastor was talking this morning about Gordon Forrester, and that and it's not wasn't just Gordon, but there's other people I know today that are very old in aged care and so on, and they can't go out and serve God, you know, like in a practical way anymore. They physically can't do it, but they can pray. They can pray. And some of the greatest prayer warriors I know are old people in aged care that are physically unable to go anywhere. They can't get to church, but they can pray. And so that is a great service to others. So what is pure religion? Number one, it's salvation. Number two, it is service, as we should want to serve God. And then lastly, I told you this was a short message. Lastly, it is, for want of a better word, sanctification. Look what it says here in verse 27. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, that word unspotted, you know what that word means? It means to be unspotted. To not have spots on you. That's what it means. It means not to be spotted by the world. It means to be holy as God is holy. You know, so many Christians have that worldly look about them, and maybe that's you. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't have the spots of the world on you. Why? Because people are looking at you. They're looking at me. That little poem that I learnt as a little kid at Doyleson Baptist Church goes like this: you are writing a gospel, a chapter each day. By the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men, hear what you say and see what you do. Say, what is the gospel according to you? For a lot of people, you are the only gospel they'll ever see. And I am the only gospel they'll ever see. And so if we have that, the spots of the world on us, that is not good. And so James said here, this is what you need to do. You need to be sanctified. You need to be holy like God and becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to be unspotted, not have the taint of the world on you. J. Wilbur Chapman said the following. He said, anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life or makes Christian work difficult is wrong for me. And I must, as a Christian, turn away from it. This simple rule may help you find a safe path for your feet along life's road. And J. Wilbur Chapman's apprentice preacher was a fellow by the name of Billy Sunday. And he said this many years ago. He said, there are some so-called Christian homes today with books on the shelves of the library that have no more business there than a rattler crawling about on the floor or poison within the child's reach. And we could most probably take that illustration of books and put in there, you know, YouTube videos or Netflix movies or internet or PC games or TikTok or whatever it might be, but stuff there that is of the world, it leaves a stain. So don't be stained by the world. Don't be spotted by the world. I'll tell you a story and then I'll finish. But about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, just a couple of years ago, I was speaking at a church in the central Queensland coast, the Capricorn coast there, and this particular church, I was speaking to the one of the men of the church there, and he was born in America, grew up in the south in America, and he had a friend there, and a friend he grew up with, and I actually, previous to this, I met this friend in America about 6 months or so before, and unbeknownst to me, they grew up together. But anyway, he got sharing stories about his friend that's in America, and of course, this fella, as I said, is now in Australia, been here for many years. And Steve, this Australian fella, went to tell me about a particular occurrence that happened when they were growing up in the South in America. They used to have what was called brush arbors. They would have like revival meetings, and in these churches in the South, they would sort of have, it was like an outdoor, they would have like week-long or two-week-long revival meetings, and they'd have preaching and so on, and they used to have what was called a brush arbor, and it was sort of like an outdoor area where they'd have these outdoor meetings in the summer. Well, he said this one particular day, It was the first day, the Sunday was the first day of this series of meetings, and they were just young teenagers. And everything was right, and he said that he and his friend from America, Steve, and another friend got there early just to have a look around, see what was going on. And of course, as sometimes young teenagers get up to mischief. Now, there was a whole stack of these portaloos. You know what a portaloo is. All these portaloos were brought in for this church meeting, and they were all lined up there. Well, one of this, Steve and his friend Randy, the third friend, decided to go to the bathroom. So he goes into the portaloo. Well, Steve and Randy decided this would be hilarious if they tipped the portaloo over. And so that's what they did. His friend's gone in the portaloo, locked the door, well, they tipped it over. Well, the portaloo goes like this, falls over, but it was on the side of an embankment. So not only does it fall over, but it starts going down the hill. And here it is, upside down, like on the wrong way down, with the door on the bottom, going down the hill. Gunk, you know, ends up down the bottom. So Steve and Randy, they run down. Ooh, that was a bad move. Now, that's it. They were just brought in. They were brand new, hadn't been used. But their friend is, you know, hey, get me out, get me out. Well, these two young fellas, they couldn't lift the portaloo up. And so this fella is upside down in the portaloo. Now, of course, you know what they put in the portaloo, that solution they put in there. So he's upside down in the portaloo. So finally, the mother, I forget which mother it was, the mother of one of these kids arrives, sees what's going on, is not very happy, goes down. She must have been a strong lady. She picked this portaloo up and by herself, or sort of got it over so they could open the door up. Open the door, out comes the friend, covered head to toe in the solution. So, of course, the mother says, go home, have a shower, and get some clean clothes on, which is what he did. So the church service started, and the mother's wondering where her son was. And then finally, after the church had been going for a while, the son comes in the back. He had a shower, changed his clothes, but he's got blue spots all over him from the blue, you know, the blue solution they put in the toilet. And she looked around and said, who do you think you are? A Smurf. True story. He's just covered in all these blue spots. He could not get those spots off. And I don't know, he may have them to this day, I don't know. There's some morals of the story there. Don't play around with portaloos, okay? And don't tip portaloos over if your friend is in the portaloo with the door locked. But he was definitely spotted by that blue stuff. What's James here saying? He's saying, listen, don't be spotted by the world. Don't be known to have that look of the world. Christians are supposed to be different. They are supposed to, we're not perfect. We understand that. We are not perfect. But we are different. Be ye holy, for I am holy. As that quote by Billy Sunday, there's some things that Christians have these days. They're not supposed to have them, eh? It's just, it's worldly. You say, but can you have any fun? Yeah. You walk with God, you have more fun than not walking with God. You really do. So, be unspotted. What is pure? And by the way, that verse number 26 talking about vain religion. You can always tell someone that has vain religion because he bridleth not his tongue, but he deceiveth his own heart. Your tongue, what you say, will always show what sort of religion you have. Always. Sometimes I cringe. Maybe you cringe too, when you hear Christians, or so-called Christians, what they say. And you think, oh, that wasn't good. Now I understand, sometimes new Christians, baby Christians, they've got a lot of growing to do. And sometimes those words come out. Hey, that's we understand that. And there's cleansing for the believer. But as we walk with the Lord, as we grow in maturity as Christians, we are to be in service for the Lord. We are to serve God, serving the Lord joyfully, not being compelled, but we are to serve the Lord joyfully Because it is a joy to serve God. It's a joy to come to church. It's a joy to serve one another. We serve God by serving one another. And then we are not to be stained or spotted by the world. That is pure religion. And most Christians today are spotted by the world. Many are spotted by the world. And if God wants to use us, we need to be believers of service and believers that are pure and holy. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for the encouragement. May, Lord, we this week, Lord, with your strength, with your empowering, Lord, display pure religion, that which, Lord, testifies of Christ and draws the lost to the Saviour. Thank you for our time in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?